the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Welcome to Rant and Wrestling. It's your boy Doomsday 519, and this is episode 211 of this here podcast. So, so a lot of news shit going on, weekly business and all that, and of course my partner in crime who will be delivering you that goodness is the man hailing from the west side, West Side Goth.
Alright, so obviously there's always a ton of wrestling shows and we can't spotlight all of them because why would we? But we spotlight what we can. So if you have Powerbomb TV, here's what you can expect on Friday, because they actually have two shows happening on Friday. First, we have Preston City Wrestling, better than a ballard. The MJF is on the show because he's on the poster. The only match listed is Matt Cross versus Adam Brooks. This is PCW in UK, by the way. And then that show is 7 o'clock BST time. That's British Standard Time, so I don't know what time that is here. Oh, that's, I think, 1 o'clock your time, or is it 2 o'clock your time? Is it CDT or EDT for you?
EDT. So it's 3 hours. So it's 3 hours ahead of you.
Alright, so it's 2 p.m. your time if you want to watch it on Friday. Yeah. And then the other show happening is Freelance Wrestling Presents Decline of Midwestern Civilization, Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The only match here is the one on the picture, which is Darren Corbin defending his title against Joey Ryan. And those are your Powerbomb TV shows. Now, the big thing happening this weekend is the start of the Best of Super Juniors. So I have the first four cards up because it starts Friday and go into Tuesday, and then they have Wednesday off is when we do this. I guess maybe I should do the Thursday card just in case as well because of how long it takes us to get these up or whatever. A quick note, there is a press conference that will have happened by the time this comes out, and I'm just bringing it up because I guess I could tie in some news real quick, because Marty Scurll had some serious problems with United trying to get to Japan, so he may not be able to make it to the Best of the Super Juniors presser. That's not going to happen. However, ECH might be able to make it. I don't know what his problems were with Delta, but it seemed like they got things settled, and he screenshot his talking with Delta because Delta ended by telling him how they were fans of his Best of Five series with Matt Sydal. So, The guy helping ACH with whatever problems he had was an ACH fan, which is a nice little bit. So we'll see if he's at the presser tonight as well. Okay. All right, so let's do this. Start right here. All right, night one. We got some matches that don't really matter because they're just undercard tag matches, but you will be having the following guys on tour with the wrestlers. Will be Evil, Chase Owens, Minoru Suzuki, Toa Hinare, Yoshihashi, Tomoyuki Oka, Shoto Muno, Ren Narita. I think also Sonata will be doing all these undercard matches. I believe Evil and Sonata will switch out depending on which block it is, with Evil teaming with Haruma when Haruma's not wrestling his block, and Sonata teaming with Bushi when Bushi's not wrestling his block. And I think I mentioned this a couple years ago. It's because Evil and Haruma were New Japan guys coming through the system, whereas Sonata and Bushi actually came up through like All Japan Wrestling or something like that. So, you know, slight alliances within LIJ. But, all right, here we go. Here is the card first night. We have Tiger Mask 4 versus Yoshinobu Kanemaru. Any thoughts on that one?
Nope, not at all.
All right, check this one out. ACH versus Flip Gordon. That could be really fun.
ACH.
Yeah. Oh, Taiji Ishimori did an interview, and they asked him about his former tag partner. I forget his exact comments, but he said ACH is exuberant, sometimes too much, like a child, and that's why
he's basically
matches.
Annoying as fuck. Like everybody else has basically depicted him. So.
Yeah. We have Yo versus Bushi. All right, and our main event, cashing in from the end of Don Taco, we have Will Ospreay, the champion, versus Bone Soldier Taiji Ishimori. So, yeah, that will be your first night main event. I would not be surprised if Ishimori gets the victory on his first New Japan show under, well, I don't know if he's under contract, but as a member of the roster. All right, that is the 18th. Next up is the 19th. We have, page up. They got a one-on-one Young Lions match opening the show. Nice. What else do we have here? All right, as for actual matches, we open up with Dragon Lee versus Sho for Block B. Dragon Lee is the only luchador on the show. Next up, we have El Desperado taking on Taguchi. This is the time of year where people remind everyone that Ryusuke Taguchi is more than just a comedy wrestler.
Right.
He's actually really good. Because, they're, you know, through most of the year, he's a comedy wrestler, but two times a year, he's either a really good tag wrestler, like when he's, you know, teaming with Ricochet or ACH, or he's really good during the Best of the Super Juniors. I mean, when Meltzer was talking about the blocks, he made it a point to say Taguchi's good during these, right? So yes, if you don't like Ryusuke Taguchi, you might end up like I did the first time I watched my first Best of Super Juniors all the way through and go, damn, that Taguchi guy's really fucking good. Not that I'd expect him to win his block, but, you know, he did go to the finals a couple years ago, so who knows. We also have Kushida versus Chris Sabin. So that might be fun. And in the main event, Hiromu Takahashi versus Marty Scurll. Alright. Then on the 20th, Sunday, we have ourselves another Block A showing. Alright. Tiger Mask versus Yo. By the way, this isn't Yo's first Best of the Super Juniors, but this is his first one as not a Young Lion. So he will not be losing all his matches like he did previously under Young Lion stuff. So, yeah. Then we have Flip Gordon versus Yoshinobu Kanemaru. We got Bushi versus Taiji Ishimori. And the main event for the Sunday night show is ACH versus the champion Will Ospreay. I'm going to assume Will Ospreay will be main eventing every Block A show, but I could be wrong. All right, Block B comes back on the 22nd. So that's Tuesday. So we have Chris Sabin versus Sho, Ryusuke Taguchi versus Dragon Lee, Kushida versus Marty Scurll, and ending the night with Hiromu Takahashi versus El Desperado. It's interesting that Hiromu was doing two nights as the main event for Block B. And then finally, the Thursday, which will be in happen about the same time as next, whatever. Let's get to it. We got, this is the Thursday, the 24th. All right. So we got Tiger Mask versus Bushi, ACH versus Yoshinobu Kanemaru, Flip Gordon versus Taiji Ishimori, and the main event of that night is Will Ospreay versus Yo. I should note that this is actually going to be the first tournament in years where the all the juniors are actually closing the show, because when they were doing these shows live, because, you know, they a lot of times they just film the matches and then upload them later, but when they were doing the shows live, a lot of times they would end with a main event with, like, you know, Okada and somebody versus another tag team, you know? So, this year they're relying on the juniors to close out the show. So, good for them. And that is the first part of the Best of the Super Juniors. If you're curious, Tanahashi thinks the finals are going to be Ishimori versus Hiromu Takahashi. So, we'll see if he's right. And that is it for shows of the weekend, and I guess we're going to talk Raw and SmackDown now.
Do we have to?
We don't. I don't care.
Fuck, I don't even remember what happened in Raw besides the B team, or the, yeah, the fucking B team winning against, shit, who did they beat? I don't even remember who they beat.
It was Breezango, wasn't it?
Yeah, oh yeah, that's right, it was Breezango. Jesus.
Actually, to be honest with you, the B team was the only thing that I kept seeing bits and pieces of. I mean, I saw gifs of matches and stuff, but the B team news was the one that was the one that most people seemed to be talking about. That they cared about the most.
Yeah, especially Curtis Axel's reaction to the win. What other match was there? But of course, the Kevin Owens-Seth Rollins match was actually really good. That's the best Kevin Owens match we've gotten in a while.
Because so. They kept putting him in all those terrible freaking SmackDown feuds.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, that was dope. And then, but then later in the night... even after losing, he ended up getting another opportunity after calling Stephanie McMahon to re-enter qualifying matches. So he ended up winning the triple threat between him, Bobby Lashley, and Elias for one of the spots.
That's good for him. He's a good person to put in a ladder match.
Yeah. Yeah, he's always a good hand for that. And, like, Sami Zayn, I guess he's going to be in a feud with Bobby Lashley because he had cut a promo in the ring, basically bad-mouthing him, disparaging him for giving him vertigo, and then started talking about Bobby Lashley's sisters and how he'd, like... he'd have them appear on Raw next week, which could be funny. I don't know if it's going to be his real sisters or some fake ones, but we'll see, I guess.
Sami Zayn out here doing as much as he can with the crap they're giving him.
Oh, yeah. And he ended up interfering in the triple threat match, and that's how Kevin Owens got the win. Who ended up qualifying? Alexa Bliss ended up qualifying for the Money in the Bank as well.
So, I thought she was injured. What the hell is she doing?
I don't know, but yeah, she's in it. Braun Strowman and Finn Balor had a tag team match against Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre, and Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler actually won.
Huh.
Yeah. So, looks like they're going forward, those guys. So, but yeah, that's all of the shit that I cared about for the most part for Raw. SmackDown ended up happening, and who ended up qualifying? New Day ended up qualifying for the Money in the Bank match. They still have to select who's going through between the three of them, though. So... but also, Daniel Bryan was interviewed by Renee Young about his loss and how he wants, he's disappointed because he wants to be back on top. But then, Big Cass comes out, talks his shit, and subsequently gets picked apart by Daniel Bryan.
Did you hear about this thing about how they're, Big Cass has heat in the back?
Yeah, I think that was part of my news. It was like rumored that apparently he has heat in the back because of the whole little person segment, because they claimed that he went too far in that segment or some shit like that. I don't know.
I heard that they told him he couldn't do a part of what he wanted to do, and
see,
he did it anyway.
Yeah, so basically what they wanted him to do was just hit him with a big boot and then just that's it. But then he hit him with a big boot and then continued to attack the little person after the fact. So he went above and beyond, basically.
Yeah, I guess you can't do that if it's an actor and they have to agree to things.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, he got picked apart, took out Big Cass's surgically repaired knee. So there's that. What else happened? Bludgeon Brothers had another, like, backstage thing. Mandy Rose, Sonya Deville, and Becky Lynch ended up having a triple threat match for a place in the Money in the Bank, a women's Money in the Bank match, but ended up having Becky Lynch advance. Andrade Cien Almas had a match with a local enhancement talent by the name of Jake Constantino, which of course he won, and then they got Selena Vega ended up getting on the mic and talking her shit about how they need real competition and blah blah blah. One interesting thing was I think Austin Aries ended up posting on Twitter about congratulating his ex-girlfriend for making her debut on SmackDown.
Yeah, I just saw that, and yeah. I'm like, why'd you have to call her your ex?
Yeah, that was really, like, backhanded. Yeah. It did seem really backhanded. I just saw it, like, a little bit ago, and I was like, what the fuck? But, yeah, Mella ended up having her Mellabration. Of course, she went on and on with her big-ass hoop earrings, looking like a chola. Well, not a chola, more like a New York City Latina. Yeah, more like that. Yeah, more like that. But anyway,
she's got a great heel gimmick. It's just someone needs to work. Like I said, what was it, last week or the week before? Someone just needs to work with her on her in ring. Because I mean, her transitions are good, but everything else she does has no structure.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, she's definitely gonna get exposed even more for the fact that. At Money in the Bank, her opponent's Asuka.
Yeah. If Asuka loses, man, what the fuck?
Yeah, yeah, they're gonna boot the That's just gonna make give her even more heat, dude. Like the only person that's gonna benefit is Carmella. That's it. I don't see that benefiting anybody else.
No,
not at all. But then, of course, AJ Styles and Shinsuke had yet another match, and
they really were like, "Oh, you want a dream match? We'll make this a 12-match series."
Yeah,
like,
but I've seen four matches with them, like including starting from WrestleMania. I didn't see the Greatest Royal Rumble one though, but everything
we kind of protested that whole thing.
Yeah, but this one was actually better than the ones I've seen, so I give them that.
I mean, yeah, they're two great talents, and I like that Shinsuke is a heel, but Jesus Christ, these people, WWE's booking is just, this is why I don't watch the weekly shows. I mean, I like watching the pay-per-views, but it's stuff like this on the weekly shows where they just drag on views that make you just wonder, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes I get upset when, you know, New Japan does the same tag match over and over again.
Right.
But then I look at this and go, well, I guess I prefer the other tag match because then you have the other two guys mixing it in there.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Besides that, 205 Live happened. Tyler Bate ended up defeating Kalisto, TJP, and a debuting Kenny Williams. So, of course, since they were in London, they brought a whole bunch of UK guys. After that, they did a promo thing for Buddy Murphy in anticipation for him going against Cedric. And Akira Tozawa will face Hideo Itami next week because their tag team has been dissolved. There was a backstage segment between Mustafa Ali, Cedric Alexander, and a debuting Flash Morgan Webster. And the main event of 205 Live had Cedric, Mustafa Ali, and Flash Morgan Webster defeating Drew Gulak, James Drake, and Joseph Connors, two guys who were part of the last UK tournament.
Drew Gulak didn't take the fall on that, though, did he?
Shit, I forgot. I forgot who took the fall on that one.
I would hope not. Drew Gulak's their best heel.
Because I was zoning out. Like, I know Mustafa Ali hit a 450, well, a 054 on somebody, but I wasn't paying attention. Okay. Yeah, so that's it for that. Since we're talking about the UK tournament guys, might as well talk about the first four competitors that have been announced for it. Basically, the first eight ones actually is Joe Coffey, Joseph Connors, who we just mentioned, El Ligero.
El Ligero. Yeah. I've always wanted to see what that guy was about.
Yeah, because it's like weird. It's like a luchador, but he's from England. Yeah, I always wanted to figure out what that guy was about, too. So, I don't know. Zach Gibson, Jack Gallagher, a man by the name of Amir Jordan, who apparently was training by Lance Storm.
Lance Storm trains a lot of people.
Yeah. Another guy, a beefy dude, I think you might have seen him before, by the name of Dave Mastiff.
I've heard of him. I haven't seen him.
Yeah, he's like this really, like, he's relatively short, but he's like really, really like a thick boy. You know? He's not muscular, he's like this weird combo of muscular and fat, but he's like super fast and he does like some crazy ass kip up shit. No hands kip up. He can do a fucking no hands kip up. That shit's crazy. But yeah, and then the last one of the eight was Kenny Williams, who we mentioned on 205 Live as well. And then they said the final eight entrants will be revealed on Friday. Yeah. They said opening rounds of the tournament will be held at NXT's shows at the Download Festival, because they're going back there again. And that will be June 8th to the 10th. I don't know what's going to happen with the tapings and all that shit like that. But apparently the semifinals and the finals will take place in London, June 18th, and the winner will be facing Pete Dunne on the 19th of June. So, yeah. Interesting stuff. Cool. Alright, so you got any news yourself?
Alright, I'll go through what I have.
Yeah, gotta get through that somber stuff, too.
Oh, somber stuff. Okay, yeah. So, Ayako Hamada was arrested for drugs. It is believed to be her first use.
Not just drugs, man. It's fucking meth.
There's a translation problem. They're saying that there's not a real translation for what she had. So, I mean, they say it's meth, but it's Japan, so you're not quite sure if it's meth. They think it was probably some sort of uppers, and it could have just been, you know, like a bad Adderall thing, but they're not really sure. Because Japan's weird about drugs.
Yeah, they're really weird about that shit.
Yeah. But they're saying it was her first use.
Yeah.
So she forfeited or vacated the Sendai Girls title. Mm-hmm. Per Wave Wrestling, Pro Wrestling Wave, she was released from her contract, but the president informed fans of Hamada's deepest apologies. They had a press conference. Mm-hmm. So Gammy, the president of Pro Wrestling Wave, she read the company statement, then she read the her and whoever read Hamada's apologies, and Gammy said that she's going to try to visit her while she's in the detention center. Because Ayako Hamada goes back a long time, so she has a lot of connections, I'm sure. And Gammy is probably a little older than Hamada, so hopefully this means that when Hamada gets better that she can return to Pro Wrestling Wave.
Yeah.
One of Wave's wrestler, another wrestler named Asuka, all capitals, was actually trained by Hamada, and she expressed her support, referring to Hamada, saying that she will always be her mentor. It's believed that a combination of physical pain and certain family troubles have been plaguing her. So, she has a lawyer. She will be detained for at least maybe around 10 days before the prosecutor decides what they want to do. So, much love and support to Ayako Hamada, who I watched a few matches with her this year, and I loved every match I've seen with her this year. Her match with Chihiro Hashimoto for the Sendai Girls title is one of my favorite matches this year so far. So, It's a bummer, but I hope she gets better. You know, it must, you know, and I think I said it on Twitter, it has to be, you know, hard being a wrestler, dealing with, you know, physical pain and possible mental illness, especially in a country like Japan where you know how they feel about drugs, and I don't know how they deal with mental illness over there, but this is a country where people actually work themselves to death.
Oh, yeah. That's why they got those special, when it comes to, like, that's why their food system is always funny, because, like, if you go to, like, their convenience stores and stuff like that, they're, like, packed to the brim with, like,
pre-cooked food, yeah.
Packaged and pre-cooked foods and shit like
I
that.
I love that. Yeah. I go to the Japanese market and I pick up several things, yeah. Come home, that shit up, yeah. Some good stuff.
It is probably better for you than the shit here, ironically.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, some of their cheaper restaurants have the conveyor belt system,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, the sushi bar conveyor belt stuff, yeah.
Which I've always wanted to see how that works out.
You know what? Cool. I've actually been to one. There's, in Towson, Maryland, there's a sushi bar that has the conveyor belt dealio. And I ate over $30 worth of sushi. sushi while I was there. Yeah, man, it was a good time. But yeah, I got to try a whole bunch of sushi I've never tried before. So that was cool. Because basically, the way the conveyor belt works is that like there's an employee, there's a sushi chef, in the inside of the conveyor belt, and they're basically making the sushi. And in placing the plates on the conveyor belt as everything goes. So they're constantly going in a circle and all that. And, yeah. So, it's pretty dope.
I really want to try that one day. But, yeah. So, much love to Io Kamada. If you're not familiar with her, she wrestled briefly for TNA before she was fired for some dumbass bullshit reason. This is when Hogan and Bischoff took over the company, and they wanted most of their women to be pretty.
Oh yeah,
as they
that's
said.
Right. They completely fucked up the Knockouts division.
Yeah, because the Knockouts division was really good. And yeah. I mean, I always thought Hamada was pretty. I mean, she's a thick girl, but yeah, that doesn't change anything. And she was probably one of the best wrestlers they had on the roster.
Yeah,
well, she also had one of the few intergender matches on the show.
She was tagging with. Taylor Wilde for yeah
another woman that kept screwing over
yeah then she ended up having to retire. Yeah, that's some bullshit.
Yeah, the Knockouts division got fucked up yeah. by them. Fuck. All right, Ann Hamada's the daughter of Grand Hamada, one of the famous Super Juniors who yeah. starred in Japan but became more successful in Mexico. Before he went back to
yeah.
Japan. Ayaka Hamada's older sister, Zochelle Hamada, was a legendary luchadoress. She was the second woman to hold the CMLL Reina title. The first woman to hold it was actually Bull Nakano, so that's interesting that the first woman to hold CMLL Lucha Libre's first real Mexican women's title for that company was a
Japanese
woman.
Yeah.
And then the second woman was half Japanese, half Mexican.
Half Mexican, yeah. Yeah.
And Ayaka Hamada has worked all across the world, including Shimmer, and AAA, where she was part of a stable with Perro Aguayo Jr., who, you know, died some years ago.
Perros de Mal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, in some good news, congratulations to David Finley, who got married over the weekend.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that. He's been posting his vacation shit and answering fans' questions while chilling on the beach and stuff. Pretty cool stuff.
Yeah. That was good on him. Blackcraft, the label, you know, the clothing label.
Yeah.
Has officially announced the date of their first show, which will be in, I believe, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Blackcraft Wrestling, August 24th. They've announced that PCO and Brody King will be part of the show, and they announced their first match, which was Sweet Soraya Knight versus Britt Baker. So, the mother of SmackDown GM versus Adam Cole, Bay Bay's girlfriend. So, that's an interesting first time matchup. So, yeah. It'll be interesting to see how they do, Blackcraft Wrestling. They definitely have the market cornered on evil-looking wrestling companies.
Yeah.
So, good on them. And then I guess for a few minutes we're going to be talking about All In, which sold out tickets about 30 minutes afterwards. According to Meltzer, who had to respond to people claiming, you know, because people had to, you know, try to take shots at the success of selling 10,000 tickets.
Yeah.
Meltzer had to point out that there were a very few limited number of scalpers. And even if there were a lot of scalpers, it still wouldn't take away from the fact that they sold 10,000 tickets in less than 30 minutes,
right,
making us the biggest WCW show in the United States since a AAA show in 93 or 94.
Wow.
In other news, some people are mad about them not having Vince Russo at StarCast. Those people are fucking idiots.
Yeah,
one guy
so
got really
dumb.
Pissed off.
They're so dumb.
he tweeted that to Cody that they needed to put Vince Russo on the show so that StarCast and All In could be sold out. And Cody Rhodes said, he's not on the show, and we already sold out. And then the guy started attacking him and talking about how Vince Russo helped make Goldust great and how he's a mark for Meltzer and all the shit afterwards.
Oh my god.
It was fucking
That's
pathetic.
Dude, seriously?
Yeah. They also announced Rey Mysterio was going to be on the show before the tickets went on sale.
Wow.
So, congratulations to them. I still don't think they've announced any real matches other than Cody Rhodes challenging for the NWA World Title,
which I'm sure he'll probably win that shit.
Yeah. And didn't realize Billy Corgan was that tall. Like, he was standing next to the Young Bucks.
Huh.
Like, he seemed like he was 3 or 4 inches taller than him. I mean, that, and he looks like a corpse that was...
He looks like Uncle Fester.
1940s corpse.
He looks like fucking Uncle Fester, but skinnier.
And better dressed.
Yeah, better dressed.
I mean, it's an interesting look, Billy. But, you know, you gave us Bullet with Butterfly Wings, one of the greatest songs of all time, so I'll let that shit slide to a point.
Yeah, I don't like... I fucking, like... I think I like his mind for, like, music and wrestling and shit, but I just fucking hate his politics, like, and him personally. I'm not a fan of him personally. Like, I respect him in other aspects, but when it comes to personal and political, I can't stand the dude. Fuck him.
I'm trying to get through his Wikipedia, but I stopped at those list of some of the women he dated, and I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah, it's weird, right? Like,
I mean,
who the fuck would date him?
I mean... Well, no, some of these names, like, I mean, Courtney Love is an interesting thing. It doesn't have a date.
Yeah.
You probably don't know who Emily Autumn is, but there was a brief moment where she was, like, the queen of the goths. All the goth girls were listening to her music.
Oh, wow.
Pretty good. It says here she dated Tia Tequila for a point.
Oh, well, that makes sense. They have similar politics.
it's weird. I don't know.
Jeez, like, Tila Tequila, damn, she was, like, the first, like, internet star. Legit.
Yeah.
If you really think about it. Damn, like, she was, like, homegrown off of the internet. Like, straight up, like, she was the first one. Then she went crazy. Yeah.
It's weird to me also that Corgan's politics are all weird, but at the same time, Axl Rose's politics are getting better because he dropped that one racist, homophobic-ass song off of one of his record reissues.
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, we're not doing this one.
Like, oh, man.
Okay. I was like, okay, Axl, that's a bit of a surprise because you're a known asshole, too. I mean, how many of these old rock stars ended up being jackasses?
A lot.
But
that's
the
thing.
Guys.
See, that people make this joke all the time about, like, how a lot of these rockers back in the day were, like, fucking counterculture and progressive and all that shit. But then when they got older, then immediately, like, they started just throwing in some, like, really, like, old school hateful bullshit. Like, they are the biggest, like, sellouts of, like, any type of fucking generation, like the rockers specifically. You see the rappers getting older and having more compassion and not being as ignorant, right? But then you got the rockers being the complete opposite. Like, they're a lot of them tend to be big pieces of shit. Conservative pieces of shit. You know? That's the funny thing about it. But yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what the hell happened, how that any of that stuff happened.
I don't
like,
know.
What the hell?
I don't know.
Like, I just remember Dave Mustaine, too, being a weird guy. And I go back, and sometimes I go back and listen to old rock music, and I discover that classic Megadeth is some actually really good rock music. Dave Mustaine is such an asshole. Yeah. As long as Rob Halford's still doing all right, but you know he's gay, so of course he hates.
Oh,
all
from Judas Priest.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just reading up on it,
and as long as Zach Delaware is still out there talking trash,
that's funny how you just mentioned him because I was just reading up on him today because like I think I was like looking up like Queen, and then for some reason I ended up. Like going deep into Wikipedia, ended up going into Judas Priest. Then I read up on him, and yeah, but yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, Rob Halford's pretty cool too. I mean, it's kind of weird. You know, they made that movie kind of about Judas Priest, but not about Judas Priest. About how the band lost the lead singer.
Yeah, Rockstar with Mark Wahlberg. Yeah, I read that too.
Because there was also like a few weeks ago or a month ago that. How Did This Get Made did that movie, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they were confused by that one as well.
I check that out.
I was just thinking about it because I was, for some reason, I decided to listen to British Steel by the band because I never heard a full Judas Priest album all the way through other than that, you know, Fighting the Law song or whatever is the one they do.
Yeah.
That was actually a pretty good record. I was a bit surprised, you know, because, you know, this is that era of rock music is before my time. And, you know, being half black and my mom from LA, it's not like my understanding of rock music didn't really happen until rap metal and late 90s new metal hit. So
yeah.
So all the old rock music is stuff I had to learn about later on.
Yeah.
But
it's weird how my
dressed like a member of Legion of Doom. Bam, turned it back to wrestling.
Oh, nice. All right, and then going back to All In stuff, one thing that like kind of irked me or whatever was that Joey Ryan had tweeted that Cody and the Young Bucks were like quote-unquote saving wrestling and whatnot, and which I definitely found that was easily a hyperbole for the fact that there's places that haven't been through like extensively that you could say they were the reason that pro wrestling was prospering. You look at a place like Evolve with WWE and Live, Beyond Wrestling, Powerbomb TV, Progress, WXW, ICW, DDT, New Japan, the new resurgence of All Japan, Dragon Gate, Chinese wrestling promotion explosion, so on and so forth, right? So you got all those places like growing without their presence. So I don't see how them having that sort of thing is like. I don't see how that makes
that
a statement.
Weird Western mentality where when we talk about entertainment, we pretty much only talk about Western entertainment. Yeah. I mean, wrestling is one example. Comic books is another great example because we talk a lot about Western comics, but in reality, Eastern comics outsell Western comics.
Yeah,
like
manga sells a whole lot more.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, especially with the, I don't know if you're following the BS that's happening in comics now with these idiot-ass comics gator types, diverse in comics.
Oh, and even the writers that are fucking themselves following suit with that shit, too.
Yeah, but most of those writers don't work for Marvel or DC.
Yeah, the
only guy I know who actively worked for any of those companies who's sort of involved with this is Ethan Van Sciver, who I always liked his artwork, but if he's acting like this, I didn't want shit to do with him, and neither does apparently DC, because whatever he did and whatever, because of him talking with him, forced DC to like create a you know, a public response.
Wow.
Pretty much asking their writers and artists to, like, hey, we don't normally care, but there's a, you know, essentially saying there's a certain line that you cannot cross, right, even if you're working as a freelancer for them.
Yeah, I heard there was one comic series that was supposed to come out for, I don't know, I forgot for what publication, but that got scrapped, like, straight up.
It might be that thing I've been hearing about, Jawbreaker, because Antarctic Press.
That's it. Yeah, Jawbreaker. That was it.
Yeah, but Antarctic Press is a company that most people, they've been around for years, but it's very unlikely you can go to a basic comic book store and find their stuff.
Find it, yeah.
Usually, if you buy an Antarctic Press, you are pre-ordering it as a person who continuously goes to a comic shop. And this was a point someone pointed out, that somebody came to them, asked them why they didn't do it, and they asked them, are you an actual customer here? And the guy wasn't a real customer for that comic shop. So it's like, why are you complaining? If you're not, you know, if you don't go to this comic shop and pre-order your stuff, then you can't really complain about it. Because I'm pretty sure even if they didn't order it for themselves, if you go to a comic shop and pre-order a book, if you're part of their pull lineup, they're going to order it anyway.
Right.
Because that's how comic shops work. Comic shops never order everything. Have you ever seen the list of how many books come out in a month for a comic shop? Mm-hmm. You're talking over 300 single issues and around 100 graphic novels a month. And if you're spending with Marvel's stupid variant cover program, you're talking in some cases these guys are buying 30 issues of the new Spider-Man number one. They're not going to buy all the indie books. But yeah, it's this weird Western mentality. I mean, American wrestling obviously is more famous because of WWE, but no matter how good All In does, it's not on the level of any of the major promotions outside the country.
Right. And
it's good for indie wrestling, but what does All In mean past All In? I mean, it could be good, but we won't know until after it.
Right. Right.
It just tells me that maybe other companies, if they put more process into booking their shows and promoting their shows like these guys did, maybe the rate, the things will go up, and how important it is to bring in talent that you may not see wrestle other guys.
Right.
I mean, it's highly unlikely they're going to book Okada versus Pentagon or Phoenix, but just the idea of both of those guys being on the same show has never happened before. Mm-hmm. So that in itself is interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, how much more people would be watching Ring of Honor if Joey Janela and Penelope Ford were showing up on there?
Because,
you know, Ring of Honor used to be the super indie.
Yeah.
Now they're just in this weird headspace.
It's a weird corporate space.
Yeah. Are they an indie? Are they mainstream?
Yeah.
Sometimes they do better than Impact, but Impact has actual TV that's national.
Yeah.
They actually tour and have bigger shows than Lucha Underground, but Lucha Underground is arguably more critically acclaimed, so on and so forth. So, and let's be honest, most of our American companies don't even come close to CMLL, and they're in a bad period.
Yeah.
And AAA is a bad period too, but when AAA does AAA Mania, no one cares. They still do like 16,000-17,000 people.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, continuing on with this Joey Ryan shit, I just felt like Joey Ryan was just, like, basically on their nutsack, I guess because of his, like, I don't know, it's weird, because, like, Joey Ryan was eating well before he started riding with them, being the Elite and shit, you know?
Yeah. Like, I wonder if he thought that, you know, it's given him a pay bump, I guess.
Like,
I know he has a new shirt out because of BTE.
Yeah, I guess. Because, like, the thing is that what I feel like the All In stuff and being around Cody and Young Bucks, like, if you're somebody who's around them, you'll prosper. Anybody outside of that circle isn't really benefiting that much from it. They're already, like, they're booking a whole bunch of guys that are well-known, already getting paid handsomely around the country, right? So, to again, to claim that they're saving anything is hyperbole. You know?
Yeah.
Because, like, everybody's
very impressive. Everybody's but you don't know how fucking eating. Work.
Everybody is eating. Everybody. This is.
It'd be more impressive if they actually got the Super Smash Brothers Visa.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you saw that Evil Uno, those Evil Uno tweets, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they had their recent match with the Young Bucks. Apparently, it was really good, but yeah. It would be interesting to see it. Will that lead to something? Because, like they said, it's a matter of working legally in the company.
Yeah.
Same reason why Mike Bailey ain't working in the States.
Right, because he's been doing mostly Canada and Japan and DDT and stuff.
Yeah, and apparently the Canadian wrestling circuit is and always has been crap.
Yeah. I think Veda Scott's just been riding with him for that, so she's basically doing the same,
She still works in the States.
Well, she doesn't work in the States as prominently anymore.
No, true.
But, yeah, she.
But I hate to say it's because she's a woman, because women's wrestling outside of, you know, major like Shimmer is kind of a weird space. Yeah. I mean, Shine throws a show every month.
Yeah.
And I know there's a handful of small women's promotions like Rise, but Rise tends to deal with a lot of more up-and-coming women. So
yeah.
It's not that many options for women in general, sadly.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, her decision to leave Ring of Honor pretty much probably did that. And yeah. I don't blame her. Ring of Honor really didn't have a direction with the women's division when she was there.
Yeah, until like a few years after she left, yeah.
And until someone pointed out, come on, what the fuck?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, anyway, yeah, like, in speaking of, like, years past, like, this whole saving wrestling thing got me thinking, like, what was, like, the turning point in professional wrestling? Because, like, if you go back, maybe, I want to say it may have been 2013, may have been 2014, but, like, yeah, like, there was a point where, like, places like New Japan was gaining more popularity. PWG was gaining a lot more popularity. WWE Network had just been launched. New Japan World had just been launched. NXT actually helped a lot. Not only with people getting reinvested in WWE dealings, but also people invested in, oh shit, all these indie guys came from so-and-so place. Let's look at these indies and keep track of that. So, like, I feel like there were definitely, like, four or five years ago was when WWE and wrestling in general started coming back up from where it was.
I think that somewhere down the line, that you had some of the indie companies smartly using YouTube.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, to be honest with you, I would say Chikara was doing a better job of utilizing YouTube than a number of indie companies,
yeah,
and then jumped on that.
Yeah, Chikara did great.
They did their, they did their kind of recap show, and then they would put up, like, a free match every once in a while.
And then Beyond did that the best, and they have they're still doing it the best. Right now, they have over 475,000 subscribers. Which is funny because they just passed the 400,000 mark, like, what was it, a few weeks ago?
Yeah.
So they're, not only are they the hottest wrestling promotion on YouTube, they're still growing.
Yeah. I mean, and then you also had, like, SmartMark Video started their own streaming service, HighSpot followed suit.
Yeah, yeah, and, I remember those now. Yep.
And I think that WWE Network had been in some sort of capacity being built for like a decade before this, back when they just wanted to do it as an actual TV station.
Yeah.
So you had them always preparing the content, not sure where they were going to go.
Right.
And I think they saw some of the online streaming options, not necessarily from wrestling, but, you know, all across the world. Because even New Japan, even before they did New Japan World, they were using like streaming services when they found out Americans would pay to watch stuff.
Yeah, yeah, because it was like, Nico TV and other things like that.
Ustream, too.
Yeah, Ustream, I remember the Ustream shit, yeah.
So, basically, you had all, you know, YouTube kind of introduced streaming, and then companies, smaller companies, were the first to kind of embrace it and all that.
Yeah.
And then you had WWE Network come in and then just knock it out the park, more or less. Yeah. So now New Japan responded, and New Japan did it. Now you have DDT Universe, you have BJW Core, you have the All Japan Network, whatever it's called, and then you also have Dragon Gate has their own streaming service. Apparently it's not good, but they have it.
Yeah.
And apparently Pro Wrestling Wave, which I talked about briefly with Ioka Mata, has had their own streaming service for a while. Stardom actually started on YouTube, and then when YouTube made their stupid thing, they just followed suit and just made their own network.
Right.
So, yeah, you had small American indie companies kind of doing it. Japan, New Japan put doing it, but you had WWE always looking for the right way to do it, and then bam. I think there's going to be like a UFC streaming service sometime in the future as well.
Yeah, yeah, I heard about that.
And that really has to go back to WWE right there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the streaming thing's really, it's really gotten a lot of wrestlers successful. I mean, I'm wondering when the Mexican companies figured out, because you have AAA that they stream on Twitch, and yeah, then CMLL pretty much uses a combination of YouTube and Claro Sports on which is a Mexican streaming site, usually reserved for like football, and I think they do the Olympics too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting.
But yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wrestling. I forgot about this news.
Wrestling.
I want to bring this up real quick. New Japan Pro Wrestling actually has a new president.
Oh, really?
Who's an actual, I think they said he was a Danish guy. I'm going to bring it up.
What?
But he worked for a toy company that's owned by Bushiroad.
Oh.
He's the guy who actually started doing those New Japan bears you see people bring to the shows.
Mm-hmm.
He was the guy who actually made those bears happen.
Oh, okay.
So he's apparently been a huge fan of New Japan. I don't know much about his history. His last name is Meiji. But yeah, he created a model for Japanese sports marketing. Wants to create a model for Japanese sports marketing centered on temples of talent, management, and market. Cites a need to sell out the Tokyo Dome and improve Japanese TV exposure. It's Harold Meiji.
Okay.
He was the NJP Bear, W Bears guy. And apparently this isn't like they fired the dude. Apparently Bushiroad likes to change people around in executive positions every few years.
Gotta keep it fresh.
Yeah, so president of Bushiroad is still Takaki Kidani, who's a guy you might have heard of every once in a while. He's the main executive for the overall company. So, yeah, this guy will be taking over pretty much this month. But he did run Bushiroad's toy company, Tomy. So there's that.
Yeah.
I don't know how I forgot. I forgot to write that shit down. Yeah. But because Chris Charlton just posted a piece of interview with him. And New Japan's pretty upfront about how much money they make and how much they spend.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always interesting to see their process of where they want to do. Like they constantly compare themselves to WWE because that's kind of where they want to be, making that WWE money, which
is yeah,
the goal of any major company.
Oh yeah.
So it's interesting, and he talks about their continued expansion and outside, and that reminds me that I think Bad Luck Fale is going to be trying to put together a wrestling show somewhere in the Pacific Islands area with the Tongan Tourism Board helping him out.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so we might be getting a New Japan show somewhere in the Pacific Island area, which wouldn't be that much of a surprise to me.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, all right. All right, guess who Zara Schreiber is dating now?
Well, I know, but maybe they don't know.
Oh, yeah, they don't know. But apparently it is Sonya Deville. Sonya Deville.
Very congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations, I guess. I still feel some type of way about Zara and the whole Nazi shit, so.
Yes. What?
Yeah.
White people have an interesting fascination with Nazis. I think Nazis are interesting bad guys. And I'm not going to lie, I think as far as how bad guys look, they have a pretty interesting military garb, but yeah, I know you're not going to catch me buying no Nazi fucking treasure trove of stuff just to have it.
Yeah.
I want the gun that shot Hitler. That's about it. But
oh, man.
But the only problem I have is, are they going to just ignore Sonya Deville being gay like they like to ignore wrestlers being gay?
Yeah.
If that doesn't fit their narrative.
Yeah. Yeah, I think she had that one, like, rainbow gear the one night. And that's been it since. I don't know. We'll have to see what she does as an individual once that Mandy Rose, Sonya Deville duo finally, like, really splits up. Because as of SmackDown, it still hasn't been completely confirmed, I guess. They were fighting, but not to the point that it looks like they'll feud. So, I don't know.
Well, they like to tag team a few of the women up, so you never quite... So, who knows how that's going to work. I just want Sonya Deville to get lost in the thing.
In the
I think she's pretty good. I mean, she's the kind of representation that they are sorely missing.
Yeah.
Because, they fired their other gay guy.
Yep.
Chikara's bringing him in the next back.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The old Nexus.
Yeah, if they could get Wade Barrett to show up, that would be amazing.
Oh, yeah.
I'm probably actually going to get that Chikara license thing, at least for that week, for to watch the King of Trios.
King of Trios, yeah. I haven't seen King of Trios in so long, man. It's been a long time.
I saw the one 2 years ago where Sendai Girls won, where they wrestled Team JWP. I didn't see last year's, which I kind of wanted to because it was Sendai Girls versus British Strong Style, so... You know, seeing Mako Satomura and versus Pete Dunne would have been great, especially because they've wrestled recently too. Because I think she's still like the Fight Club Pro Champion.
Oh wow!
So one of the European dudes who posts all the pro stuff keeps referring to Mako Satomura as the Ace of Brit Wrestling.
Oh man. Okay, to continue on with the news, WWE is still trying to appease Bradley Cooper with rewritten versions of the Vince McMahon biographical flick, Pandemonium. Apparently, it's gone through like 3 different versions of a script so far. Yeah.
That's either completely standard or not, since, you know, some films go for years with multiple screenwriters. Writings before it ever gets made, like Hancock, for example.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure one of the I Am Legend films is the same way.
Yeah,
Akira has probably gone through like a dozen American drafts, and hopefully it'll continue to go through a dozen American drafts because I don't want an Akira movie.
Oh yeah, please don't stay away. What else? Seems like WWE is close to a new TV deal with NBC Universal, as NBC has heavily utilized WWE in their upfront presentation. But one thing to note, though, is that there's still consideration for having Raw on one channel and SmackDown on another. So, it could be a thing of them not being both on the same channel anymore. So, I don't know.
I have some, you know that thing I retweeted earlier today about the black real estate guy who had the white people call him?
Oh, yeah.
Well, there was another bit about this where I guess the officer who was white told the black guy, "You keep the camera rolling. If you have any problems with her, what I want you to do is call me back over here. She will go to jail for that." And then the woman apparently told him, was like, "I'm friends with the sheriff." And the officer was like, "I don't care if you're friends with the president. You're going to let him do what he's going to do. If you try to do something, anything to stop him, I'm going to take you to jail." So, you know, props to the one white cop.
Yeah. Okay. And to...
calling cops on every black man from breathing.
Oh, man, and to continue on with social issues, apparently Val Venus has waged war against Ryan Satin and liberals and gender politicians and a whole bunch of crazy people. Like, if anyone remembers, of course, Val Venus, former WWE superstar, used to be big in the 90s, lukewarm in the early 2000s and disappeared. Now he is a weed advocate and crackpot libertarian. There was an incident, of course, that we had talked about with where Ryan Satin had posted an article about how the cops were called on Val Venus for filming at a post office, which is definitely illegal. And he, I guess Val Venus lost it and started throwing a temper tantrum at Ryan Satin for posting fake news and blah, blah, blah.
I don't understand this particular bit of fake news. I mean, for one thing, apparently fake news has been around since libertarians kind of popped up, apparently. I was listening to about one of the guy, some guy who actually wrote about, like, Andrew Jackson and Hamilton and all those dudes. Even though some of what he posted was real, but, you know, he would make up scandals after all. So they've been around for a while.
Yeah.
But at the same time, a lot of it isn't really fake news. Some of it's just real stuff that that people complain about because they don't want to get out there.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what's up with Val Venus. Guy needs to just, stay home.
Stay home and keep smoking weed. Or maybe stop smoking weed. Maybe it's not good for him.
Yeah, maybe. Sometimes, I guess it's different for everyone.
Yeah, I guess it is. Speaking of weed, I don't know if it was Gail who was, being interviewed with, getting interviewed by, Ellen DeGeneres or whatever, and then she talked about, Oprah and her possibly smoking weed or some funny stuff like that, and then Ellen said, oh, I can't do that, it gets me all hyped up and, all weird and stuff, and I can't do that. It was just so fucking awkward. Like a nice middle-aged white woman would say. Actually, she isn't even middle-aged. She's like straight up old now, isn't she? How old is she? Like 60?
Ellen?
How old is she, man? Yeah, she's
not
pretty,
60.
She's pretty old. Maybe 50. I don't know.
Maybe 50. I mean, I think she was in her 20s when I was in like 15 or something. So not 15, a little bit over 15.
She's 60. Yeah.
Maybe it's because I keep thinking about her and Portia de Rossi, because Portia de Rossi is... I knew she was younger than her.
Yeah, Portia de Rossi is 45.
Yeah, Portia de Rossi still look really good, too.
Yeah. Damn, Conan O'Brien is 55.
Huh. Well, people tend to forget Conan O'Brien worked as a TV writer for The Simpsons during a good era.
Yeah.
So, you know, we kind of only think about him when he started...
late night.
Late night.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure he was a producer on The Simpsons when The Simpsons was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, 91 to 93.
Yeah.
Good Simpsons years.
Anyway, in other news, after the news of Charlotte having surgery to repair a ruptured implant, apparently they said that she might have gotten some teeth knocked out or whatever.
Yeah, I saw her covering her teeth when she was posing with a fan right after she got attacked after the match.
Yeah, I guess she can't catch a break these days. She'll be all right.
And that Carmella's a curse.
Yeah, Carmella is a curse. Tell that to John Cena, allegedly.
Well, John Cena's out here pining for Nikki Bella, so I don't know what's real or not.
Yeah. I don't know what the fuck.
And even though I am joking about Carmella, I don't actually mean anything by it. Like I said, I think she has positives. I just think that she's in a company that doesn't know how to use those damn positives.
Yeah.
WWE half the time doesn't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Sometimes they try, though, so, you know, like, I guess that's...
But, one thing that WWE has been kind of doing right, they have been promoting Evolve 104 and 105.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. They posted on their website. They have an article about it. Basically, I think it's partially for the fact that, like, some of the stuff is a continuation of what went down during WrestleMania Access. So they, I guess they want decided to utilize that, and they even besides their website, they also tweeted about it as well. So that's good on WWE for continuing that relationship.
Yeah, good on them. Yeah. Anything to get more companies money. It just makes wrestling better.
Yeah,
we need a lot of that's what's making wrestling great is more companies, good places for people to work, different types of product. This is why GCW is killing CCW right now. But yeah.
I think the only thing that's keeping CCW alive nowadays is their partnerships with other promotions.
Like yeah,
they've been partnering left and right with different other promotions, and that's probably the only thing that's been keeping them afloat.
I would also say the fact that one GIF maker, Hoke, actually works for CZW, doing some live stuff for them, pretty sure that might do something for them.
Yeah.
Because he's done more for them on Twitter than CZW does for itself on Twitter.
Yes, yes. Yeah, he definitely does. One thing that was interesting, Tommy Dreamer was actually, I believe he was interviewed, and he said basically, yeah, the only way that a lot of these promotions will probably grow is if they work together. So, yeah, teamwork, making the dream work.
Yeah, I mean, and some of these companies probably would work together, but there's, some heads hidden. Like, PWG doesn't want to work with anybody, really.
Oh, no, fuck no.
And to some degree, that's kind of kept them as... I mean, it's been both a blessing and a curse.
Yeah.
They never really grow to the point. They're just going to be that cool indie fed, and that's what they want to be. That's fine, but that's not going to help
the industry. They're reminiscent of a person who has worked the same job for, 10-plus years. Like,
yeah, that's right there.
Like, it works for... It works for you, but you're, not going anywhere. You're, at a dead-end job, but it's not like you're homeless. You know?
I guess.
I don't know.
Evolve works with WWE to a degree, which is good. Shine is kind of a part of that. GCW is sort of involved. Chikara is interesting because they train guys, they send guys to different promotions, and now that they have their own wrestling space, they let other wrestling promotions rent them out. So, in a way... they're helping as much as they can, including during King of Trios when they'll hire wrestlers and use them as a way to represent other wrestling companies.
Right.
I'm not sure. Shinner doesn't quite work with them, but they don't throw enough shows a year to do work with other people. Mm-hmm. They used to work with Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
Who else is there? GCW has been partnering with people when they go out to different states because they did a bunch of shows in Chicago. With other companies. They've been working with a Mexican indie promotion, DTU,
mm-hmm.
and I think they might be sending somebody over to either DDT or BJW coming up. So,
okay.
GCW is working with people. So, yeah, some of those companies, it really does help. CZW, like you said, sometimes partners with people. So, yeah, it does help. I mean, Japan has known this for years, even though New Japan doesn't need to partner with anybody. They still occasionally let guys work All Japan. They'll bring in... Well, they used to bring guys into Noah until Noah got shady on their ass.
Mm-hmm.
And then, they brought in Daisuke Sakamoto. And Daisuke Sakamoto straight said that even though he's a BJW guy, if he's free on a day and New Japan wants to hire him, do it.
Yeah. Wasn't he just at a New Japan event?
Yeah, he was the Lionsgate Project.
Oh, yeah,
he wrestled... Red Shoes' son, Shota Muna, who's really coming off as the top of the guy of the Young Lions right now. Yeah. The match was okay. I mean, obviously, Shota's still wrestling like a young lion.
Mm-hmm.
But, Daisuke really put him over at the end of the show. He called, he said that Shota really comes off as the face of the future of New Japan.
Hmm.
So that's high praise from Daisuke, who took his head off with a fucking lariat. But, yeah, so, obviously, people want him in the G1 Climax. I would love for him to be in the G1 Climax.
Yes.
I know he said he would wrestle, he would like to wrestle Okada. So, who knows? But, that would be, fucking awesome. Oh, that reminds me, Dominion, sold out too. So,
nice.
Yeah. Of course, with that show, you had Okada, Omega, 2 out of 3 falls, no time limit. Jericho versus Naito. Obviously, you're going to have the junior title on the line. The Young Bucks versus Los Ingobernables de Japón. And Rey Mysterio and the Never Triple Threat match. I mean, that was like, what, a third or half of the card?
Yeah,
you
stack
the rest
card.
Of the
yeah.
for that. But, yeah, rest of the companies working together is a... That's just the way it should be. I mean, you know, WWE really isn't going to do it other than some NXT stuff. Let's get the other companies to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take over.
Yeah. And more somber news, looks like Human Tornado is officially retiring from wrestling. I forgot what event he was at, but then he had gotten on the mic and said that he was officially done. I believe he stated that his back was all messed up and he may have some type of like weird lump that he has to get checked out or whatnot. But yeah, he says that's it. I remember the first time he disappeared, it was like, I think it was 2010, and then there were rumors swirling that he had contracted HIV. I believe it was Biff Busick who kind of let it slip on like a podcast or something like that some years ago. But but either way, I don't know if it's true or not still. Because it was Biff Busick and another guy. But that was the only source that stated that Human Tornado had HIV, but no one has come forward to confirm and deny that they know that he has that disease or not. You know?
Well, that's something probably. I wonder if it was probably an accident by Biff and the other guy. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. But yeah, but it was always questioned why Human Tornado, after he started making his return and making like sporadic appearances in different places, smaller promotions, that he never got hired by a place like PWG again. Because he never touched down from PWG after that. Like, he never came back. And there was a point where he was PWG's biggest star. For the most part.
Yeah, he was a guy who was very popular on the various clips you would find on YouTube.
Very popular, 2-time PWG champ. People still talk about his feud with Chris Hero as probably the best like feud that PWG's had, especially during the older days of that promotion before it got like super hot in like 2012 and up. Or whatever. But yeah, a lot of people were like when he had a few of those videos that he posted on his YouTube, I would look at some people and like some people would say like, yeah, that is what got me into indie wrestling. Watching Human Tornado's videos. Like, that's what got me into it, to be honest. That was back in I think it was either 2006 or 2007. Whatever, I saw his stuff, and then after that, I ended up seeing him on WSX on MTV, and then he went away after a while because, of course, that promotion didn't last. But yeah, like fucking Human Tornado was the fucking man for like a good while, and then nothing. That's a damn shame. But, like, yeah, people don't give him enough credit. Because he did his damn thing.
Well, he came on in an interesting time. I mean, you basically... WWE was not in a good place quite yet. They were still rebuilding themselves. Indie wrestling was gaining buzz, but it was still kind of fractured because you were just getting into the... YouTube and the streaming service.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, his gimmick would have been something something that would have been crafted in, like, inspired by, like, the Attitude Era.
Right.
He was doing it on the indie scene.
Mm-hmm.
He was a very unique figure at a very strange time for wrestling in general.
Yeah.
So, and that kind of thing sometimes hurts wrestlers. I mean, I remember seeing guys at certain times in Ring of Honor or any, like, I always thought Brent Albright came along at the wrong time as a wrestler, too.
Yes, yes, he did.
Because he was too old school for Ring of Honor, but not the size that WWE wanted at the time he showed up for them.
Yeah.
And that guy was really good, too.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's kind of a sad thing for that era. I think Eddie Kingston kind of falls into that now, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of guys you just go, this is not the right era for what you're trying to do, and it's sad because you're really, really good.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, speaking of guys that were in that era, but are now WWE superstars, Sami Zayn, he decided to show his support for Palestine on Twitter, which is interesting for the fact that most WWE superstars, they really don't go out of their way to talk about international shit or politics and whatnot. And it's also interesting for the fact that he's in direct contention with what the McMahons most likely view for the fact that they have ties to the Trump administration. You know?
Yeah.
So I'm just hoping.
But my understanding is that they also try to distance themselves from the Trump administration. They don't want to. The WWE doesn't really want to publicly talk about stuff.
Right.
Because they don't want to piss off half their fans who aren't Trump supporters.
Right.
Even though they clearly have a connection to it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, props to Sami Zayn. But Sami Zayn, they're not going to be able to change Sami Zayn's as a person. So,
no,
you know.
No, fuck no. And I don't even think they can afford to, like, release his ass, to be honest.
They don't have too many guys who can speak Arabic.
Fuck no.
On the roster.
And plus, if he leaves, he gets more successful. Period. Like,
yeah. I mean, he was a guy who probably didn't need to go to WWE. Yeah. He wanted to.
A lot of guys these days, that's why WWE can't afford to let go of a lot of guys. Because
that's why Neville hasn't been let go yet.
They know they will get better elsewhere. They know.
I mean, you heard about Neville moving back to the UK, right?
Oh, he left?
He left.
Oh, wow.
No one knows when his contract was probably never going to go up. Because WWE refuses to unfreeze it.
Wow. That's some bullshit.
So he's pretty much done. I don't know if he'll ever return to wrestling.
Yeah, and then that WWE legal team, they'll make sure that he never sees the light of day.
Yeah, so yeah. I don't know what he can... I'm pretty sure if he's moving to UK, he can probably get another job doing something else. Yeah.
So they
probably
freeze.
Become a successful wrestling trainer, to be honest.
Okay,
with you.
So they freeze his contract. So that does he? So he doesn't get paid.
He doesn't get paid.
So he doesn't get paid, but he can't work somewhere.
Yeah.
Else.
But I think if they're not paying him, it also means that even though he can't wrestle anywhere, they can't stop him from getting another job.
Yeah, but can he sue for that shit?
Maybe. Like, I mean, I guess if it gets to a certain point, he could probably. Sue him, like, I don't know how long it's been since he got out of it. I mean, since he walked off. But I'm sure if it runs too long, he could probably get a lawyer to bring some negative attention to WWE. Like, this guy hasn't worked for them for years, and they're still holding him under contract.
He could put some pressure on them, definitely. He could get some good media attention if he's smart enough, and that could hurt them.
I mean, he's clearly told him he doesn't want to come back.
Right.
But I don't know how... Yeah, I don't know how long you can freeze somebody's contract, too.
Yeah. Speaking of contracts, actually, the rest of my news is going to be people who are either going in or coming out, whatever. But yeah, Hulk Hogan, he keeps talking about how he made a mistake... And he misspoke when what he said says otherwise. Misspeaking would entail a slip of the tongue, but he went on a huge tangent. The only mistake was that he was recorded. And he wants to downplay the incident so much, and he tries to make it, but at the same time, he's making an apology to people that he that felt hurt by his statements, The wording of his apology and all that is such bullshit to me, you know? But he really wants to be in WWE so
bad. I'm tired of hearing about Hulk Hogan. Just go away. Geez. Stay home.
Yeah, stay home, be a father, a grandfather. Actually, I don't think he has any grandkids. Because his kids are kind of trash. Anyway, whatever. But yeah, fuck him. Please don't hire him again. But speaking of people who were hired, Stacy Irvin Jr. He just got signed by the WWE, apparently. And if you don't recognize that name, he is a gymnast known as Simone Biles' boyfriend. Simone Biles, of course, last Olympics, she was basically the top gymnast, top female gymnast, well, top gymnast overall, actually, of that 2016 Olympics. Yeah.
All I know is that whenever a black gymnast does good, white people go idiotic.
Oh, yeah. Because I think the year,
all white people. Because
I think 4 years prior, was Gabby Douglas, another black one.
So, yeah. And they out here just, you know, killing it as a gymnast for the United States.
But yeah. So since he's a gymnast, he does a whole bunch of flippy shit. And a lot of people have automatically compared him to Ricochet just because they're two light-skinned brothers. But yeah, there was a video that was posted of him in his tryout some months back. He was doing moonsaults and standing corkscrews and easily doing a 630 senton. So yeah, he's got that flippy shit down. His shit actually looks crisper than Ricochet's, too, so I don't know. Like, he even does that thing that Ricochet used to do in Dragon Gate. Remember? Where, like, Ricochet would do that springboard thing off of the ropes and then just hit, like, a whole bunch of, like, super backflips.
The handspring rebound, multiple backflip crap.
Yeah, the backflip.
Yeah, yeah. Which sometimes it was just kind of silly. But I think, was it Rich Swann did it once and made it look like a glitch, I think.
Yeah. But Stacy Irvin Jr. did the same thing and it looked two times better.
Yeah, I mean, Ricochet is an incredible athlete, but you can tell he's a guy who flips for wrestling versus a guy who flips from a gymnastics.
Yeah, right.
Because it's one thing to flip, it's another thing to flip and score points.
Right. Speaking of flipping and score points, I think, like, the full, like, basically the whole Chinese roster of these new wrestling promoters, like, straight up out of like, gymnastics or whatever.
I know who you're talking about. That one dude.
Yeah, the one fucking dude that, like...
Oh, like, let me see. I think I have... I saved a clip off of Instagram.
No hands,
I grab his name.
The no hands double foot stomp jumping over the ropes from the apron like
he
was on
the apron first.
Yeah, Andy, yeah, jumped on an apron, no hands.
Gao Jingjia. He wrestles for a Shanghai wrestling promotion and Dragon Gate.
That's the hardest part of the ring. There's, like, no, like, bounce on that motherfucker. Like, this dude literally had springs in his shoes. That's the craziest shit I've ever seen. But he just stepped on
all,
that
all the
neck,
clips he did, because I'm looking at the one where he does the, where he jumps on top of the apron, does the split-legged springboard over, lands on all over the top rope, and then goes right into a Canadian destroyer on this dude.
Jesus. I'm
going to send you these four clips, including the one where he does the 450 off of Seema's back.
Yeah, I was about to say that's that one. That one was the...
Alright, well, have you seen him do the 630?
Oh, no, I didn't see him do that.
Alright, I'll send, because it's the four clips all together, so I'll send these to you now on Instagram so you can see him. But yeah, Gao, I can't pronounce his last name, but I think it's Jingjia. But yeah, he's incredibly impressive. There's another guy, even though he's not Chinese, that's incredibly impressive right now in CMLL, if you can catch clips of him. He's a guy named Audaz, I believe it is. It's A-U-D-A-Z. Yeah. He's the guy that all the Lucha fans right now in the States are bubbling over because his shit is pretty, you know, because, you know, those Lucha guys sometimes are just ludicrously insane. But this dude has been killing it on all the Lucha gifts that are popping up right now, too, if you can catch him out.
Yeah.
Let me say, I'd have to look for him on Twitter, but I'll send you something from him if I can find it. But yeah, there are some of these new high flyers, man. The high flyers be crazy because you'd be like, you can't do better than that. You know, you got to a point where you're like, Ryan Ricochet and Ospreay are like, you know, the height of high flying. And then you see Jinjay and Udass and you're like, wait a minute, what the hell? This isn't even right anymore. You can't get better than that. All right. Yeah, like who are... Oh, yeah. The guy did the guy pushed Udass the ropes, and what he did is he just backflipped over the top rope and landed on his feet on the outside floor.
Yeah.
Just because. That's the kind of guy this dude is. I mean, these high flyers, I don't understand how they get so good. Like, I mean, I know it's a lot of practice, but at some point, this motherfucker should just be solving crimes. Right? Give this motherfucker a cape.
Apparently, WWE just announced that WWE 2K19 is scheduled for Raw for a fall release. I don't know why they would announce that, because this shit happens every fucking fall. Shit. You know?
Yeah, it's like, oh, we got the game coming out. You always got this
you
game coming out.
You always got a game coming out.
If you were to delay it, it would have been a surprise.
Yeah. Actually, it would be a welcome surprise, because at least if it was fucking delayed, then it would probably be better, because those shits haven't been really good in years.
Like, honestly, I mean, I stopped playing video games a long time ago, but after, like, the Nintendo 64 games, I didn't even care anymore. Yep. Like, the Nintendo 64 games were just so easy to learn and just so, you know, fun to play. And once everyone got it, you know, you could be playing, you know, having a fight for, like, 20 minutes on those old games against somebody.
You know, one game that was similar to those old N64 ones was the WWE Day of Reckoning games. That one was very similar. Like, you could literally be fighting forever on those shits because the mechanics were ridiculous. But it was really, really fun. That was like the most fun I've ever had playing a wrestling video game. But yeah, a lot of
it was.
Yeah,
it's always good to play wrestling game where you can get the controls down, and and it's like not so much easy to master, but you know when you're working on playing against somebody else who gets it too, those they actually feel like real wrestling matches to a point. Those things are great. One game that had weird mechanics was Rumble Roses.
Rumble Roses. I've never played that.
I played the first one. It was like my brother got it for me because I didn't play video games anymore. He thought I'd like it. And it was the animation quality and effects looked really good. It was just hard to understand. So you were just kind of doing things. So it was hard to like really master anything. But, you know, the animation for the characters looked pretty cool. Yeah. And some of the moves were all right.
Yeah. Oh, I remember WWE's Twisted Metal Knockoff, WWE Crush Hour. yeah, they had one called the Crush Hour where they had WWE superstars in specialized vehicles and shit. Like The Rock had his like sports car type weaponized vehicle. The Undertaker, of course, had a hearse. RVD had a vehicle. I think that one was like a Jeep or SUV type deal. And
it should have been an ice cream truck smelling, secretly selling weed.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh fuck. But yeah, I remember that one. That video game was ridiculous. It was okay, but it was ridiculous. It was fucking gross. But anyway,
you know, Michael Costas is like 58 years old and he's still taking insane lucha bumps.
These guys will do whatever.
Yeah, there was a clip, but he took like a super power bomb that was nasty last week. And I'm like, Negro Costas, you're 60s years old, man. Just calm the fuck down, please. You get it. You're awesome.
Oh, man. Yeah, man. Okay.
Oh, shit.
Whoa, what?
I'm trying to find some clips of audio. I ended up on Lucha GIFs, and there's a clip of Shocker doing a dive to the outside. But Ultimo Goro not only catches him, he then powerbombs him into the steel pole. Pure strength. Like, you know, how much power do you need to be able to catch? And Shocker's at least a 200-pound dude, right? And then still fully lift him up and do a powerbomb into a steel pole. I mean, I don't think a lot of Lucha guys get credit, not just for their, you know, speed and high flying, but for their pure strength sometimes. You know, because they don't look like power lifters or any guys like that. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Insane. I mean, because in Lucha Libre, they have the base wrestler, was what they call the guys who do a lot of the catching. So you have to have some serious upper body strength and core strength to do that. Some of these guys are fucking insane. Alright. Okay, where were we?
More news.
Haven't gotten to that one asshole yet, or we're gonna save
that one? Yeah, that's the last bit I got.
Alright. Okay. Fuck that guy.
Yeah, fuck him. So, of course, the guy that we're talking about fucking... Well, whoa. That's not what I meant. Anyway, what... Or, actually, no. Anyway, the guy we're talking about is Enzo Amore. Apparently, the charges, the sheriff's department or whatever, out in California... I think it was... Was it California that this shit happened?
I thought it was Vegas.
Or was it Vegas? One of those two. I don't know. I haven't been out west, so I don't know where shit is. But
it's,
yeah.
It's a lot of desert and then a lot of cities in between desert.
Yeah. I need to make it out west one day, because I have, like, a whole bunch of, like, vacation days. I could just, like, say, fuck it, and just go on a trip to take a plane ride and just figure shit out west.
There's stuff to see depending on where you go. I mean, LA has a lot of stuff, but everything's spread out.
Yeah.
Vegas, everything you can pretty much, if you get, if, you know, get on the strip.
On the strip. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, so Vegas, apparently, Enzo Amore, the charges for the sheriff's department, they have dropped all of them due to insufficient evidence.
And people, for some reason, think charges being dropped is the same as being cleared.
Yeah, that is not the case. That is not the case. Because they specifically stated, if they find any more evidence, they can open that shit right back up.
I mean, come on. Do these people not know they live in the era of true crime? If you listen to any stories, you know, like, especially, like, with some types of serial killers or, like, long-time crooks, they'll have put these files on, you know, for a while. They'll have suspects.
Yeah, it ain't over until it's over.
Yeah, and sometimes those suspects that they interviewed are the guys they did it, and they'll go back to them.
Yeah. But a lot of people have been, like, trying to discredit the victim, because I believe the victim ended up, I don't know if there was some questionable stuff that she was into or something like that, but, like, at some point, she had straight up disappeared from social media. So, who knows?
Well, that doesn't really surprise me, because you know how awful people are. She
exactly.
Just got showed up and like, nah, fuck this, I'm done.
I think he wasn't the only one accused of anything. It was like some of the guys that he was around as well. That are into scummy circles that are popular. So it made sense that their fans and friends would pounce on her. So.
Yeah.
But then, also on the other side, the other legal business or whatever, WWE may end up coming into a fight for the fact that his lawyer had just now come up and said, Enzo didn't know about this, the investigation or the allegations or accusations until everybody else knew. So, basically, he shouldn't have been fired. So, maybe, most likely, there may be a wrongful termination suit on WWE's hands.
Yeah, I don't know how far that can go. Because,
yeah, unless he can prove that, like, he didn't know that...
Yeah, that he was... I mean, the most that's going to get out is he's going to ruin his any possible goodwill he has with WWE.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's done. He's done in wrestling. Period. I don't think. Like, maybe small indies will come up. Maybe just to make appearances. But one thing that he did state is that he is going to continue to pursue ventures in the entertainment industry. So.
Yeah, the entertainment industry doesn't want him either.
Yeah, they don't fucking want him. Fuck that. So, I don't know. And in lesser Enzo news, he, like, posted, I think he posted on Instagram, his new look, which was basically him shaved, which looked really funny because he kind of looked like a druggie. Like, like, he looked
more?
Like he was strung out, man.
Even more so?
Yeah, even more so. Yeah, he looked worse. Yeah, he
that
looked
is,
worse.
That is horrifying.
Yeah.
Alright.
Well, yeah. Alright. Yeah, that's all I got.
The reason I'm having trouble finding odd ass clips is he doesn't have his own Twitter and he's not retweeting, so that he's not retweeting his own random ass stuff like some of the luchadors do.
Yeah.
But I think his gimmick as a high flyer is he can pretty much kickflip off of it, anything, it seems like. You know, like how A.R. Fox used to kickflip off the steel pole?
Yes, yes.
He does that with the top running at the top rope.
Nice.
He'll hop up, hit a one-foot kickflip off the top rope back on it with speed. It's one of his gimmick things. He does it very smooth-like.
Nice.
But yeah, he's this one of the CMLL guys who's getting a lot of looks going. And once again, fuck Enzo Amore.
Yeah, fuck him. Fuck that guy.
Yeah. And, man, just a quote. Another reminder that wrestling fans are stupid, the stuff that was being said online. They, like, I mean, they don't even understand why he was fired in the first place.
Right.
Want her to get thrown in jail for some
and then. Nice. They started throwing in because of what the lawyer said. They automatically just started to jump in and say, "Oh, well, if the lawyer said that he didn't know, then he was wrongfully fired. He should be hired again."
Yeah, that wasn't what I don't. I really hate wrestling fans lately, and I really hate comic fans lately.
Yeah.
Well, the loud, annoying ones, but it's becoming a pain. Every one of them. Wrestling needs to. We need to oust a lot of these so-called fans. They're just hurting the industry. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Fucking hell. shit. But yeah, that's all I got.
Well, I don't have anything to add. Yeah. I did, however, finish the 6 Lone Wolf and Cub movies based on the popular manga. You ever read that comic series?
No, I never heard of that.
It's a very famous series. It's basically about a former shogunate executioner who gets framed up. So he takes and they kill his like wife. So him and his son basically travel around as assassins.
Huh.
The guy who one of the co-creators created a Lady Snowblood, which was also made into a couple movies that Tarantino partially ripped off for Kill Bill.
Kill Bill, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Lone Wolf and Cub. I remember there was this one musical artist called Thundercat who had a song called Lone Wolf and Cub, and he's is partially influenced by Japanese shit, so it makes sense.
Yeah. They're pretty good movies. There were six of them. It feels like they expected a seventh one because they didn't quite end the series right. But they're all pretty short. They're almost all under 90 minutes. However, old Japanese Sam films have a trouble with child nudity, which bothered me in one film. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but you know, it's different cultures. They have probably a different attitude. And I was like, I couldn't watch the scene, but then I just sort of rewinded and just put my remote up to block the picture so I could read the subtitles.
Okay.
but most of the movies were pretty good, and there were some pretty insane fight scenes in it. But because I'm still going through my a bunch of movies this month, but yeah, I finished all six back to back. I was happy, and then most of them were really, really good, really, really fun. So, an RIP to Margot Kidder, the Lois Lane. She was also in a couple of horror film classics, Black Christmas and Amityville Horror.
Oh, did you see that Roseanne tweet and then the response from one of her
nephew? Yeah,
her nephew. Yeah,
yeah. It's like, shut the fuck
shut
up.
The fuck up. Oh man, fuck.
Yeah,
And in other movie type news, apparently they cast Eddie Casbrack for the It sequel.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, James Ransone is gonna be playing. But it's a funny thing because he looks like a dead ringer for that kid's like older version, so it makes sense.
Yeah.
I gotta remember what this guy was in.
Yeah, I don't know either. I like the Bill Hader. Possibly playing Richie still.
Yeah.
I don't think they fully confirmed it, but it sounded like it was close. And he was the guy that the kid who played Richie was like, yeah, Bill Hader should play the character.
Oh, I remember this guy. Oh, shit. This guy was in the worst season of The Wire. Fuck.
See, I've never watched The Wire, but I'm surprised someone said there was a worst season of The Wire.
Yes, season 2 was the worst season for the fact that, like, the first season was great. It was all about the hood shit, the dope dealing, everybody getting shot up, the police trying to catch them, but, like, screwing up. But, like, I think they ended up getting, what's his name, Barksdale eventually. Was it Barksdale? Oh, shit, I forgot. But second season was pretty much almost all about the fucking docks and, like, whatever shit they were trafficking. Like, the Polish were trafficking on the docks of the harbor and whatever. So, which people had deemed pretty boring.
The Polish mafia has never been one of the top ones.
Yeah. The Polacks.
Oh, I don't know if there was some slight AIW thing, but I remember there was a AIW booked Colt Cabana versus Nick Gage for a match coming up,
mm-hmm.
And Colt Cabana's response was just fuck, which I thought was funny. But yeah.
Oh, and this guy.
Never watched one, but I know a lot of people like it, and I probably would if I felt like actually buying the DVDs. But then it's like, it's HBO, so, you know, their stuff's always charged.
Okay.
So I haven't bought any Westworld set, even though I thought about it.
Okay.
That last episode of Westworld was great.
Oh, yeah. Like, the thing is that everything I had, like, I was watching Westworld, and I was like, I still need to piece shit together. So, like, I think there, I forgot what publication had put out a timeline of that.
Oh, someone's doing a timeline for the show?
Yeah, like a definitive timeline of the things that happened from the show. Because you know how it goes back and forth, or whatever.
Yeah,
only thing I was confused about, like, towards the end of last episode was Emily. Because I completely forgot about who she was. Well,
I'm online, and I would sometimes see people who would do reports for Westworld, and be like, Emily spotting, still nothing.
Yeah.
So I would see that every once in a while.
So Emily was the one that was in world that where they were doing the safaris in India and shit.
Oh, wait, no, I think you're getting Grace and Emily confused.
Fuck. God damn
Grace,
it.
Grace is the girl from the safari world.
That survived
and
the
tiger
attack.
And then Emily, I think, is the programmer.
Hold up. No. Oh, because I'm talking about Emily, like, what's his name's daughter?
Yeah, I thought her name was Grace.
God damn it.
I mean, I could be wrong. I mean, I'm looking it up.
Yeah, it's
yeah,
Emily.
Yeah, her name's Grace. Wait.
No, her name's Emily. Yeah, that's William's daughter.
They give her two names. So I guess she's called Grace in some episodes and then Emily in other ones.
You sure?
Because when I looked it up, it said Westworld such and such reveals season 2, episode 4, spoiler, Grace Man in Black's daughter, Emily. So maybe she doesn't go by her first name or something.
Huh. Okay.
So yeah, okay, so it's just a confusing thing. Maybe, yeah, some people might, she might be going by her middle name or something. Because also the Westworld Wiki lists her as simply as Grace. Yeah. So, but yeah, I guess it's the same character.
Emily Grace, right. Gotcha.
So, I guess that's a one way to keep people guessing.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
But yeah, I remember when she was in that safari world. They called the Raj.
Yeah, the colonizer world.
Yeah, the Raj. So, yeah, where she survived the whole tiger attack shit.
See, I could, even if I had the money to do Westworld, I could not do Westworld. I would be like, yeah, no. Yeah. No, I don't have the motivation to run from lions and fight samurais and shoot, you know, Native Americans. It's too much work.
Yeah. Yeah. Crazy
that was,
shit.
That was a good episode. Yeah. Oh, and I know you said you haven't been following Flash, but putting in for the last episode was great.
Okay, shit, where am I now? Like, did I finish the last one? I have to double check. Just give me 1 second. But yeah, I was like 4 episodes behind on. Like, when I finally, like, decided to, alright, let me watch the Flash, I just found out that I was 4 episodes behind. Yeah, but right now I'm halfway through yesterday's episode.
Oh, that opening was great. That was like some Akira level shit.
Yeah.
That was some good
stuff.
Yeah,
when he started like killing all the people in the facility and shit. Yeah, that's dope.
Yeah, I was really happy about that one. I'm like 4 or 5 episodes behind on what's it called? Legion. I'm probably just gonna watch them all together one day.
Oh, I didn't see this this episode of that show. So that's about it. Yeah. Oh yeah. But yeah. Deadpool. I'm seeing that Friday night. That should be interesting.
Deadpool. I'm going with my brother. Yeah. So sadly, I have to wait a little longer because he's waiting on with his friends.
Yeah, I heard. So yeah, I've heard really good things about the movie, from fans mostly. Like critics,
yeah, well, the critic reviews have been pretty good.
Yeah, I heard those were okay. So I guess I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's like 80 something on Rotten Tomatoes now. It's higher than the Solo film right now.
Yeah.
Solo.
Hold up, they got reviews for the Solo film already?
Yep. And the reviews have been mixed. Well, not like bad mixed. Some of the reviews have been like, it takes too long to get started.
Oh, okay.
But when it does, it's fun. Yeah. That's a lot of the good reviews there. But it's like in the 70s. I think the high 70s right now on Rotten Tomatoes. I mean, if you believe in Rotten Tomatoes. Rotten Tomatoes, right. Of course. To me, Rotten Tomatoes is really only interesting when you get also the fan reviews, so you can kind of look at both of them.
Right.
At this early stage, audience score, just the critic. Yeah. Yeah. So right now it's just the quick reviews, and to me it's always good to look at both. Yeah. If you're the kind of person who cares about reviews, if there's something I want to see, I'm going to see it no matter what. Yeah. So yeah, but I only looked at both of them just to see which one was doing better. I was just curious. because the reviews came out at the same time. I'm like, which one's getting better reviews? All right, yeah. Well, is that it, man? I gotta get to my today's movie, Jason the Argonauts from the 60s.
Old shit.
With stop motion effects, we're still the shit.
Yeah. All right, man. Yeah, that's it. Of course, you can check us out. RantEarRadio.com, including their other podcasts, The Rant, Turnbook Throwbacks, Freaks and Never Geeks, and all the other fancy shit they got. Of course, you can check them out on Twitter. Twitter, you can check their Rant Ian Radio on Twitter. For me, of course, you can check me out doomsday519.tumblr.com. At Joey Doomsday on Twitter, Doomsday Space 519 on my primary channel for YouTube, secondary channel Doomsday Gorilla, spelled as in PWG's Gorilla, Doomsday Gorilla on Instagram, and at Joey Doomsday 519 on Snapchat. Yeah.
Alright. I guess you can catch me on Instagram, westside.goth. Go there and like the picture of my new t-shirt, which has all the Hayao Miyazaki Studio Ghibli creatures on there.
Nice.
So, yeah, that's really the only one. I mean, I'm also on Twitter, too, which I think is CM Towns. So, yeah. That's it.
Yep, Towns.
Alright.
Alright, so we're going to end on a high note. So, hey, 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 hey. Smoke weed every day.